Luke chapter 3 from verse 21 says this, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened. While he prayed, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, "You are my beloved Son, in you I'm well pleased." Amen. This is the word of God. You know, I'm a product of Australian missionaries who came long ago in my country, and they went straight to my area, which is called Nuba Mountains, if you heard about that area. I'm a Nubian. A Nubian in the Bible is called the Cushites, so I'm a Cushite, if you don't know about the Cushites in the Bible. So go to Isaiah 18 and go to Zephaniah 3:10, and you will read about the Cushites and you know more about us. And the interesting thing is that the Bible speaks about us in Zephaniah that we are prayer warriors, you know. And you know, and that's why I said from beyond the rivers of Cush, which is my country, because we have around 27 rivers in my country. And so from beyond rivers of Cush, my scattered people, my worshippers, will bring me an offering. Yes. So that's why everywhere we go around the globe, you know, I was reading in one of the magazines, they said, Sudanese people are the number one missionaries now around the globe because everywhere they go, they establish church. Everywhere. Everywhere. Look around you. Where there's Sudanese people, there must be a church there. So which is a witness to the people of how God has chosen them to spread the gospel around the globe. Yeah, so my life started, and when I became born again Christian, I received Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. And I started my life with him, and I began as a worship leader, you know. And I started composing songs, singing, and doing all that stuff, not knowing one day I'm going to become preacher or teacher or whatever of the Word of God. That's how it started. And I continued with the Lord because I was a very tough person before I became Christian. Very, very tough. You know, like according to the history, you know, we are known to be the ancient warriors, if you haven't heard about that. The ancient warriors and, again, the eye shooters. We don't shoot anywhere except the eye. So if you go to a war and you find somebody shot in their eye, that must be one of us. So that's what we do. You know, we only shoot in the eye. And so, as a tough person, I became a Christian, and I started my life with him as a worship leader, and then I started going around trying to teach people songs and lead them in worship and help them out through this ministry. And then I realized, you know, this is not enough, you know, because in the beginning with the Lord, everything was going really well. The power of God was so awesome. I was able to see God move, touch people, deliver them, and doing all this stuff, but it stopped in some stage. It stopped there. And I was like, God, what is happening? You know, everything was going well. You know, every time I pray just a short prayer, God will answer straight away. And then it started to take longer prayers and no even answers. And I was like, God, what's happening, you know? And God was like, you know, because I want you to go deeper. You know, because the beginning, when you come to me and you experience something in the spirit, don't think that's it. No, it's just a means of leading you and pushing you and motivating you to go deeper, because whatever you experience right now, you know, there's some lump of it right ahead there. If you go deeper, you'll be able to get those stuff. And, you know, because each and every one of us, you need to understand this one. You know, we are called to be priests. You know, we are priests. And as a priest, you are a spiritual man, somebody who is supposed to be 24/7 engage in the spirit, not only in the physical. And this is one of the problems that we face as Christians. You know, we live so conscious physically, and that's how we tend to gratify the desires of the flesh all the time. But God doesn't want us to live that kind of life. Understand this thing. We are not physical beings. We are spiritual beings. And as spiritual beings, we should operate in the spirit 24/7. You know, but you know, remember, you know, every time we leave the church, we switch into flesh. And then we start operating in the flesh the rest of the week. And then we come back to church again, we switch to the spirit. And we started becoming spiritual people. We pray, we lift our hands, we jump, we dance, we do all this stuff. You know, we speak in tongues, and then we leave this place. Again, we switch back to the flesh, which is absolutely not what God wants us to be, because God wants you to always be tuned in the spirit. He wants you to be tuned in the spirit. But the problem is, we have a big issue of prayer. People don't pray. You know, because prayer to us is not just an activity. People call it activity. No, it's not activity. Prayer is one of the biggest ministries that God has ever given a human being. You know, because everything else you do, whether worship or preaching or teaching, all this stuff comes out of prayer. If there's no prayer, you will never be able to preach the word properly. And the word you preach will be just a letter that you preach to the people, and it will never give them life. Instead, it will kill them, because the Bible says letter kills, but the spirit gives life. And so we need to learn how to operate in the spirit and be able to preach the spirit to the people that will give them life instead of killing them. Amen. And so this is what God wants us to do. And so for us to connect with God and be able to move with God, we have to develop that spirit of prayer in us. We have to learn how to pray. Because that's what happened with me. You know, when I was asking God, God, so what shall I do? And God was like, you have to pray. And I was, God, I pray. You know, that's what I pray. You know, because I grew in a very traditional church. That church teaches us the Lord's Prayer. And that's what Jesus said. He said, when you pray, pray the Lord's Prayer. And to me, I was so biblical by praying those prayers. Before I sleep, I pray that prayer. I wake up, I pray that prayer. Before I eat, I pray that prayer. And that's all. And then God came to me and said, you know, that's not, you know, you haven't prayed in your life. I'm like, what do you mean? I said, hey, you haven't prayed in your life. I'm like, tell me, you know, I pray this Lord's Prayer, which you told us to pray. But I don't see any result. He said, because you haven't prayed at all. You know, we are in a country called Australia, which is the great thousand of the Holy Spirit, according to that prophecy. And people have been waiting for revival for so long. For so long. How many years have they been praying for the revival? And until today, we have never seen that revival. Instead, we are seeing the devil becoming more active than the church. The church has become the tail and not the head anymore. The church is not leading anymore. The church is following. You know, and that's why every politician, they bring whatever they want to bring, and we just follow them. And that's absolutely contrary to what God wants us to be. God wants the church to lead, to become the head, not the tail. But the church is not praying, and that's why the church is still a tail. You know, I don't know until when is that going to happen. You know, when I got to this country, I came actually with hope that I'm coming here to enjoy my life. Why? Because it was Australians who brought the gospel to my area. And I was like, oh, I'm going to a Christian country, and life's going to be different. I got here, and I was shocked. I was shocked to see what is going or happening in this country. And I was like, God, what is happening? I thought this is a Christian country. He was like, that's why I brought you here. Because once they were blessing to you, it's time for you to be a blessing to them as well. And I was like, wow, that's a big job. But because I already know the way how to do it. Because back, as you heard, I was one of the revival pioneers back in my country. You know, it was through prayer that we see the heavens open and the glory of God fall in our country. And we saw thousands upon thousands, not only non-Christians, but the Muslims becoming Christians. And that move was one of the greatest moves ever happened in the history, because those who came from other countries like United States, Australia, everywhere around the world, they came and saw the revival that was happening. They said, this must be the greatest revival ever. You know, it was so great because everywhere around the country, people were praying because they were so desperate to see God move. Our country was ruled by a Muslim regime. And this Muslim regime, or Islamic regime, was very tough on Christianity. They started persecuting us. And so because of that, people decided to pray. And when we prayed, we saw the result. We saw the power of God moving and operating. But on my life, or in my life, personally, you know, when I started seeing things becoming dry, my life has become dry, and everything's not working, and I was like, God, no, this is not going to be. You know, I cannot handle this because I'm used to that kind of life, powerful life. Look, the life that is deeper in the Lord and joy, peace, and all that stuff. You know, but I can't. I don't see anything happening right now. God, what's going on? And he was like, you need to pray because you haven't prayed yet. I have been trying all this time to teach you to pray. I've tried to push you to pray, but you don't want to pray. You know, because when things become hard, always we run to God. When things become difficult, we always run to God. And then when God solves that problem, we stop praying. We stop praying. And then we expect God to keep moving. Because the moment you stop praying, you have stopped God from moving. You know. And in my life, I learned two things from, there were some more than that, but two things actually touched my life from the late evangelist Reinhard Bonnke. He was doing Bible study to his team one day in the morning, and then he said something very significant. He said, "For you cannot live a Christian life without prayer." And it's true. You can't live Christian life without prayer. Many people are struggling now to live as Christians, and every time they fail because they don't pray. And then the second thing, he said, you cannot live above the level of your prayer. You cannot live above the level of your prayer. And so people have become so lazy. This is the weakest meeting in every church around the globe. When you say it's a prayer meeting, only 2-3 people turn up. The rest of the church, they don't want to pray. And yet they want to see God move in their lives. Listen to me, guys. God spoke to me clearly, said, you have to break through. And I was like, what do you mean by breakthrough? Because I hear a lot about breakthrough. Breakthrough, 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 breakthrough. So what do you mean by breakthrough? He said, yeah, you have to break through. And I was like, explain to me. I want to understand what does breakthrough means. And he was like, breakthrough means that you open your heavens by yourself. And I was like, how can I open my heavens? And he took me to Luke chapter 3, verse 21 and 22, the verse just right now. What did he say? And then the one, when everybody was baptized, Jesus also was baptized. And the Bible says, while he prayed, while he did what? While he prayed, heavens opened. Hallelujah. And Jesus has to open his heavens to be able to operate under an open heaven. The reason we don't see revival taking place, because we are still trying to operate under closed heaven. And nothing is happening. Have you ever wondered before when you stand in front of somebody who is sick and you wanted to pray for them and you feel there is power in you to heal them and yet that power is not operating? Why? Because the heavens are closed. You need to open them. I hear a lot of people here in Australia saying, why do I need to pray? Jesus already prayed for me. I don't need to pray. And I was, don't be foolish. You know, Jesus prayed and he gave us an example. Set an example for us so that we should follow in his steps. So that's why he prayed. So why should we fast? Jesus already fasted for us. And I look at them and I said, man, you get the Bible wrong. You know, if you really learn what the Bible says, you will understand that Jesus did all that so that we should learn from him and follow and do exactly as he did. So when the Bible says, while he prayed, it indicates that he did not just start praying when he was baptized. No. He's been praying all along until the day when he came there, he was baptized. And then what happened? Heavens were open. And what happened now? The Holy Spirit came upon him in a form of a dove. Imagine Jesus, the Bible says, Mary was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. So that's what the Bible says. And so, and he was given birth and he came out as a human being and he started living among us. And yet he needed the Holy Spirit in his life. Did he have the Holy Spirit within him? Yes, the Holy Spirit was there. But why did he need the Holy Spirit to come upon him? Because you cannot operate in the Spirit unless the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He can be within you and still be unable to do anything. You know, he can build you up. He can encourage you. But to do something outside, no, he can't. Because the heavens are still closed. You know, heavens are still closed. You need to open those heavens. And it's only through prayer that you can open those heavens. Those who pray, you know, because I believe all of us here, we pray. Just a while ago, during the worship, we started praying in this place. And everybody prays. But there's a difference between prayer and prayer with perseverance. That's the most important thing here. If you don't pray with perseverance, you will never experience any new level in the spirit. You just remain stagnant in your spiritual life. You will remain stagnant totally. You can't move anywhere. And we have a lot of people around us who are like that. And even us, you know, we see that happening with us. And God doesn't want us to live that kind of life. God wants miracles and signs and wonders to become norm in our lives. Every single day. You know, that's why I said earlier, we are more conscious physically than spiritually. Because when you become more conscious physically, you will always focus on your physical needs. But when you are more conscious spiritually, you will always focus on the spiritual things. And every time you are more conscious, you know, imagine you being a spiritual being. You have spiritual ears, you have spiritual eyes, you have a spiritual mouth, you have a spiritual hands, spiritual feet, and you don't use them at all. And this is what's happening with us. You don't use them. You don't use spiritual ears to hear. You don't use spiritual eyes here, because if you hear through your spiritual ears, you're hearing some spiritual stuff coming from the supernatural realms of the spirit. You know, because we're not supposed to live with the things that are in this world. We're supposed to live with the things that are coming from the supernatural realm of the spirit. And that's why we are so weak. We are so destitute as Christians. We are so deplorable, you know, as Christians. And there's no difference between us and the people in the outside there. No difference. You know, and that's why they're not coming to church, because they can't see anything different. They can't. You know, we need to show that supernatural aspect of God in our lives as we become more conscious spiritually than physically. Because, you know, it doesn't make sense for you to become a spiritual being and start operating in the flesh. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, remember, the tent of meeting, you know, there is the outer court, and there is the holy and the holy of holies. He was trying to explain to me what does breakthrough means. He was like, when somebody receives Jesus as their Lord and personal Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in their spirit, which is the holy of holies. So the Holy Spirit dwells there. But he is there. He cannot manifest on the outer court. Why? Because, you know, you are a spirit, you have soul, and you live in body. All right? I want you to get this. You are a spirit, you have soul, and you live in body. So your spirit is called Holy of Holies. Your soul is called the Holy. And your body is called the outer court. Ministry always takes place in the outer court, not inside the Holy of Holies. Why? Because people are in the outer court. And that's why you see the high priest going inside in the Holy of Holies to offer the prayers and whatever he does that, and then he walks out through the holy place and then goes to the outer court and starts ministering to the people outside there. That's how it works. And so he said, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in your spirit. And so what happens? The Holy Spirit wants to operate or manifest on your body. And that's what they call anointing. Because anointing doesn't mean that you have drunk some oil. No. Anointing means you are rubbed by oil, which means oil is evident on your body. If you use oil right now to rub your body, everybody will see that there's oil in your body. You know, that's what they call anointing. You know, but most because traditionally we say when somebody receives the Holy Spirit in their lives or even starts speaking in tongues, they think, now I have become, you know, so anointed. That's a traditional way of describing that. But remember Jesus, the Holy Spirit was living in him. But he never said that he's anointed until the day when the Holy Spirit came upon him, and then he was able to say, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. That's the only time you hear Jesus say that, I am anointed. But before that, he never mentioned that. Never mentioned that, because he knew the Holy Spirit was within him, but the Holy Spirit was not on the outer court. The Holy Spirit has to manifest on the outer court, on his body, and then he was able to speak boldly, saying that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. Remember this. You know, we try to preach, and the message doesn't go and touch the people. It could touch 1, 2, 3 people. But we are not, you know, we don't have time now. We're running out of time. We need to save the world. And if you try to save them one at a time, it's going to take us a long, 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 long time. Remember, the Bible says Jesus is not going to come until this message is preached to the whole world. We need to reach out to the whole world. And we cannot do it unless the anointing is upon us. And that anointing will be enough to save people, deliver them, heal them, empower them, restore them, and make them the people God wants them to be. And that is why prayer is very important. You know, it's very important. So Jesus prayed, the Holy Spirit came upon him, and then he went to the temple. You remember this? In the temple, they gave him the book to read, and he read it. It wasn't by accident that he opened Isaiah 60, because God led him to speak that, because that was fulfilling him. And then he was able to say it in front of them. I tell you the truth, this scripture has been fulfilled today in your ears. Hallelujah. And we need to have that, you know, boldness to decree and declare that this scripture has been fulfilled in me. I believe you cannot stand right now and say that this scripture has been fulfilled on me. Because, you know, we want to see that evident in your life and in my life. If we can't see it, then there's a big issue here. And so the Holy Spirit needs to go from the Holy of Holies through the Holy and manifest on the outer court. But the biggest problem sometimes is the Holy. Because Holy is full of a lot of stuff. Your soul is full of a lot of stuff. You know, that's why they say this person is a soulish person or a selfish person. Because everything comes from your soul. You know, hatred, you know, rejection, all this stuff, you know. They come out from your soul. You know, and the way you were brought up, the environment, you know, the school you went to, the workplace you work at, and all this, you know, they have had a lot of input in you. And that input goes to store up itself in your soul. And it becomes a blockage for the Holy Spirit to manifest on your flesh. And so when that happens, you need the Word of God. And I know, Word of God, we don't know how to deal with that word, because the Word of God is so powerful in a way that, you know, when you memorize it in your head, it does nothing. It can do nothing. Now, a lot of us, we have a lot of verses we memorize in our heads, but we don't allow those verses to go down and be planted in our spirits. Because when they're planted in our spirits, they become powerful. But as long as they're on your mind, just memorizing your mind, it's just an ink on your head. It's an ink on your head. And that's why the Bible says in James chapter 1, 20 says, you know, receive with meekness the implanted word that is able to save your souls. Save your soul. Because your spirit is saved the moment you receive Jesus. But the word of God is what will save your soul and deliver your soul from all those, you know, because when the word of God comes into your soul, it will replace every negativity that is within your soul. And then once your soul is saved, the Holy Spirit will find freedom to walk through the Holy and manifest on your flesh. And the anointing will become so heavy on you every time you go anywhere. You know that the anointing is here. And that will give you so much boldness in a way that everybody, you know, will be able to be touched by the anointing. And so when God spoke to me like that, and I was like, okay, so let me pray. And I started to pray. I prayed for 5 minutes the first day. You know, 5 minutes was a long time for me, you know. Was a long time for me, because when you say the Lord's Prayer, it takes 1 minute, or less than 1 minute. And so now I'm trying to pray in my own words. I prayed for 5 minutes, and I was like, oh, wow. So that's an achievement, you know. And then, you know, when I got up, the problem that I was going through that led me to pray, it started increasing. Instead of decreasing, it started increasing. And I was, God, what's happening? He said, because you need to pray. And I was, God, I just prayed 5 minutes. He said, no, man, you haven't prayed yet. You haven't prayed yet. And the next day I prayed for 10 minutes and nothing happened. Instead, it increased. 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 1 hour. That's a testament. I started going from church to church telling people I prayed for 1 hour. Because I've never seen somebody pray for 1 hour. You know, I prayed for 1 hour. You know? And things got worse. They got worse. And then I prayed for 2 hours. Woo, I'm a hero. I'm a champion here now. Praying for 2 hours. You know? And then nothing happened. It was just getting worse and worse and worse and worse. 3 hours. 3 hours and nothing happened. Instead, everything went nuts. And I was like, God, no, you're not serious. And he was like, I am serious. Because that is what a lot of people do. They always operate within the human level. They operate within the human level. But you need to go into the divine level. You know, as long as you are in number 6, you are still in human level. You need to cross to number 7, which is the divine number, which is God number, which is supernatural number. Unless you get there, you will never see any result of your answer. Remember Elijah? What did he do? The man, you know, challenged the prophets of Baal. The man went out and said, you know, as the Lord lives, in whose presence I stand. And I love that. I love that people who love to stand in the presence of God. As the Lord lives in whose presence I stand, there shall never be rain or dew until I speak. Hallelujah. We are looking for men like that who will challenge governments, who will challenge, you know, countries, who will stand and say, there will never be any goodness in this country until I speak. And everything will turn upside in the country. That will make even the president, whatever Albanese, whatever his name is, he will come down and bow down to the Lord because somebody is standing here for the Lord and they're declaring the mighty God that they have in their lives. But look at us. We are so scared of them. You know, we can't even speak up for ourselves. Elijah stood there and he spoke the word and the time came for him to confront the prophet of Baal. And I like what he said. The God who answers by fire, he is the Lord. Hallelujah. It's only those people who pray who know how to bring the fire of God from heaven. Because like I said, if your heavens is not open, fire cannot come down. Fire cannot come down. It's blocked. So you need to bring that fire down every single time you pray. Every moment you open your mouth to pray, the fire will have to come down. You know? And so after he defeated them, and after that big, great miracle and victory took place, he told Ahab, Ahab, go up to the mountain, eat and drink. Because I hear a sound of a heavy rain. You know, the word sound means vibration. You know, in the regular word, vibration. You know, he could sense that vibration in his spirit. You know, that's a very powerful way of God doing or revealing things to you through that vibration. He could sense that vibration in his spirit that the rain is coming. And so he told him, go up, eat and drink. But what happened to him? He doesn't want to eat, he doesn't want to drink, yes. Because there are two categories of people. People who want to eat, you know, and they become fat like me. And people who don't want to eat, and they spend all their time in prayer in the presence of God. And they become stronger than those who are fat. You know, sorry, I'm fat spiritually and physical as well. Don't worry, you know. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so that's exactly what happened. He went to pray and he bowed down with his head between his knees and he started to pray. And when he prayed, he didn't pray in order to convince God that he's praying. He didn't pray that traditional prayer. The guy was engaged in the spirit. The guy was praying in a way that he's not going to stop unless he sees an answer. That's why he started sending his servant, go to the sea and look and see if there's any sign. He went and looked and there was no sign. He came back the first time, the second time, the third time, the fourth time, the fifth time, the sixth time. There was no any sign because number 6 is number of human. It's the number of man. As long as you're praying in the number 6, you cannot see the hand of God in your life. You have to cross to number 7. And so number 7, the guy came back and he was like, you know, I see a cloud in the shape of a hand of a human being. Praise the Lord. And Elijah was like, come on, run and tell Ahab, you know, to run to his castle. Otherwise, the rain will stop him. Hallelujah. And it was, the Bible says, from here and there, the heavens was closed, you know, covered by clouds, and heavy rain started to fall. This is the type of men that we're looking for at the moment. And so when I started to pray three hours and nothing happened, that day I stood up. It was like 11 o'clock. We were sitting as family talking, chatting, and then 11 o'clock everybody was snoring. And I was left alone. And I like when you are left alone. Every time you're alone, that's when you encounter the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so what happened? They went to sleep. And I stood up next to my bed, and I looked up, and I was, God, I'm after you to the end. I'm not going to give up anymore. This is my time, and this is my day. And I bowed next to my bed, And I started to pray. 1 hour passed. Because I came with intention, I'm not stopping unless I see a breakthrough in my life. I'm not ceasing my prayers unless I see a cloud in the shape of a human hand. I'm not stopping unless I see the heavens open. And I started to pray 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 hours. Everything around me started changing. The atmosphere started changing. I started experiencing electricity over my body. And I was, what's going on? And then a strange language started coming out of my mouth. Like I said, I'm from tradition. I don't know what is this language. So I tried to stop it, and it was still coming. I tried to stop it. It was still coming. And then I let go. And I continued to pray until 12 o'clock next day. 13 hours, one go, nonstop. And I got up from there. My heavens were literally open. The glory of God was so heavy on me in a way that my people, my family, could not stand in front of me. Everybody was falling over the moment I walked next to them. You know, I walk out and I walk in. My brother was lying down there. He looked at me and I looked at him and I saw, this guy is not normal. He must be sick. And then I said, let him call me to pray for him. And then I went and I came back and he was like, can you pray for me? I said, what's wrong with you? He said, I have malaria, you know, malaria in Africa. And I was like, come in. I took him inside. You know, before even I laid my hands on him, the power of God hit him. He fell down, spoke in tongues, and he was totally healed from that malaria. And I walked out and went to the bus because I was going somewhere. Everybody was running from me. Everybody, because I don't know what they were seeing on me. They were running from me. I got into the bus, and the bus was transporting some army people. So I got inside there. Most of them started falling over with demons in the bus. They started manifesting. And I was like, whoa, this is amazing. You know, I've just stepped into something that I've never dreamed of before. And he was like, you know, your heavens are open now. Keep moving. And ever since, I saw the glory of God as never before in my country and everywhere I go around the world. Through that prayer, with perseverance, not just any prayer. Remember, it's not just about, you know, the Bible speaks about the peace that passes all understanding and the love that passes all knowledge, which means love itself, you know, the letters that speak about love is just letters. But there's something beyond that. There's something beyond that peace, which is so supernatural. And that's the kind of love God wants us to operate within. You know, if we don't operate from there, we will never be able to see the revival in this country that we have spoken about. I came here, tried to lead people to prayer. They don't want to pray. And when we pray in my church, we pray like roaring lions. And people come listening and hearing us pray there. And they will say, you know, Australian people, they're very strange. And they were like, you know, hey, is this like a tradition that you inherited from your forefathers? I look at them, I'm like, guys, if you don't know how to do this, how are you going to make it as Christians in this country? And that's why there's no difference between us as Christians here and the people outside in the world. And so through prayer, you will be able to break through. And through prayer, you will be able to maintain that spiritual consciousness. And then you will be able to operate within the supernatural spiritual realms, because that's where God wants us to operate. Remember, there's something called Book of Life. In that Book of Life is written everything that you're supposed to live in this world. And you cannot access that Book of Life unless you break through. Unless you break through. And it's only through prayer. And so prayer is not a choice. Prayer is a must. Prayer is a must. Prayer is a ministry. The power of ministry is the major thing. Without it, you can do nothing. Without it, you would be limited in your life. Without it, you know, God doesn't want us to be limited. That's why he gave us his spirit without limits. Because he doesn't want us to be limited. And so look at us now. We're limited in many ways. Many, many ways. And we know it. We don't need anybody to remind us of that. We know that. Because things are not working with us. But through prayer, I saw the hand of God upon my life in an amazing way. You know, and I went from there, from place to place. You know, I don't even need to speak sometimes. I would just stand. Even I go to the marketplace, when I raise up my hands, people will start falling around me. They will start falling around me. The power of God would just fall literally upon them. The glory of God will become so intense upon their lives. And people start becoming scared of me. even bishops, those big names, big pastors, and you know, sometimes we've got in Africa, you know, like bishops who is some like, you know, when you look at them, you get scared. You get scared, but they become scared of me. And I was like, why are they scared of me? I'm just a normal person. What's going on? But I never knew that they could see the glory of God on me like when the kid of Israel saw it on Moses. So prayer is a powerful tool that God has given us to be able to break through in the spirit and to be able to operate in the spirit. And even, let me tell you this one. He told me, he said, you know, listen, even the tongues that I gave you to pray with, the tongue is not an aim in itself, but it is a mean to an end. It's a means to an end. So you use tongues in order to dig deep until you break through in the spirit. Praise the Lord. Sorry, I've taken much of your time, but remember this. Prayer is what makes difference in your life, in your family, in any situation, in your country, everywhere you are. If you want to live really as a king and priest, you need to pray. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Hallelujah.